I'm computer.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Today is Tuesday, March the 12th. It is 6:04 p.m. Let's go through the do a round robin of everybody who's present. Looks like online we have Eloquio Alejandre, Angela, Marty, Brian, Don, Eli, Yvonne, is it, how do you say,
Omar Gosain.
Gosain, okay. And then Rosie and myself. And we have present here in person, Jesse. Okay, let's go ahead and hand the time over to Brian for the financial report.
Hey, thank you. Good evening, everybody. Before we jump into the reports, just want to mention we got some good news that came out of the legislative session. Looks like they approved a 5% increase to the WPU, which is good considering kind of the talk after last year's 6% increase. People are expecting a little bit more lean of a year, but 5% is good. And there was an increase also to the LRF, the local replacement fund, of $192 per student. So funding is looking good for next year. So we'll look forward to building that budget once we receive the legislative estimates that should come here in the next couple of weeks. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and share my screen. We'll take a look at the PTIF statement quickly. No surprise here that it continues to do well. Drop of a little bit from last month. February is a shorter month, but still doing well. The budget summary as of the end of February, we are 67% through the fiscal year. We're looking at a forecasted operating margin currently of about 3.3%. Equates to about $230,000 projected net income. So looking strong, a little leaner than we're used to seeing from prior years, but still looking good. Financial summary, revenues and expenses, pretty close to most line items there you can see are very close to our what we expect to see this time of year, right around that 67% mark. Cash balance is good, trending very typically for what we see this time of year. We are coming into the time of year not only where we start to put together a budget for next year, but where we start looking very closely at our restricted funds to see what buckets are filled up, and we'll get those reimbursement requests in as soon as those are ready. Enrollment trends, as always, is holding steady. We're right at 535 as of the end of February. Any questions on any of that? Okay, not too much to report this month, but things are looking good. If there's no questions, that is all I had. Thank you.
Hey Brian, I'm sorry, Marty. One question.
Hey, Marty.
Legislative increase of 5%, that will first be applicable to which budget of ours?
So it's going to be, so the vast majority of our funding is on the detail report that I upload to the shared drive each month. The first line item there is called K through 12, or it's the main K through 12 line item in our budget. So it mostly pertains to that. And then the other increase that I mentioned, the local replacement, pertains to the charter school local replacement line item, which is the other large chunk of our state revenue. And then
Got
other line items will be affected correspondingly, but not as much as those two.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on. The first action item we have is to review and approve the January and February minutes. Did everybody get a chance to look at those? I know they came through a little late.
Yes, I did review them.
Okay.
And yes.
Okay.
I reviewed, are you talking about the minutes you said?
Yes.
Yes, it says members absent in the, so there's two, one that is all in red, that you pointed out that it would be good if Cody fixed it.
Okay.
And the other one in which it says that members absent is, one of the members absent is Carmen Thompson, but she's not a member.
Oh, okay. I apologize for that.
No, no worries. No, no.
That was also in the minutes the month before, so.
Okay.
Okay. So one I mentioned and I mentioned in an email, the only corrections I saw were in the February minutes. It looks like Cody still had them in red font for editing. But did everybody agree with the content of the minutes and what was in there? And if so, I would like to motion to approve them with changing the font color and then the corrections that Juan had on the January minutes.
So moved.
Okay. Who's that?
Angela.
That was Angela. Thank you, Angela. All those in, is anybody in opposed? Okay, passed. Thank you, everyone. Welcome, Freddie. All right. The next item we have, action item we need to review and vote on is the purchasing or not purchasing the student accident insurance. Did everybody get a chance to look at that?
Yeah.
We have not purchased that insurance in the past, but every year we get a quote. They just send it automatically. Of course, they're trying to sell insurance, but we never purchased it. But it's right around 3,500, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so I really don't have a recommendation whether we want it or not. It's supposed to pay for kids if they get, if they are in an accident here in the building.
$10,000 seems a little bit low to cover anything, honestly. That probably wouldn't even cover an ambulance ride in the emergency room.
Nowadays, you're probably correct.
And so I'm sorry, you look, I'm sorry, go ahead, Angela.
So I'm not sure that, it's only $3,500, I understand, but I'm not sure that it's worth it.
Yeah, we haven't bought it in the past. I just like to bring it to your attention in case you, anybody thinks it's a good idea.
I hadn't thought about it.
Have we ever needed it?
Not really. No, because most kids, at least the ones that have gotten injured, we don't have a lot of them getting injured, but those that have had insurance.
There was that incident a few months ago.
Yeah, we had the one here, but no, we haven't needed it that we know of.
So when the middle school opens and we're going to have outdoor activities, be soccer or boxing or whatever we use to offer,
yeah.
Does the state require us to have liability insurance then?
The state requires us to have liability insurance.
We have liability insurance. This is accident insurance.
So yeah, a kid gets injured on the playground.
Mm-hmm. Can you forward the agenda to Juan?
Yeah.
So we have liability insurance. We have what we need, but this is just in addition to that.
But wait a minute. This is Marty. Is this coverage to cover injuries that our students suffer, or is it liability protection from us if those students file a claim against the school?
This is accident insurance if a kid gets injured in the building. not necessarily if they file a claim against us, because again, we have liability insurance to protect us, but this is accident insurance.
And it only provides a benefit, insurance coverage benefit to the student, not correct, to us.
Yes.
And do any schools provide that?
Some schools do. Some schools buy it just because they know that they have a large number of their kids who do not carry insurance. So, but not.
Do they try to pass that expense along to the students, the families?
Not that I know of.
I mean, that's a nice charitable act, but I don't see the wisdom in.
I don't either.
Non-mandatory insurance for students if we already have liability protection.
Yeah, I think we just based off of this discussion alone, we can go ahead and move forward and say we're not going to go with this insurance.
Nothing else needs to happen. You can move on.
Okay, thank you. And the next item we have, action item, is to review and approve the next calendar year, the 2024-25 calendar year. Did everybody get a chance to look at that? Is anybody opposed? Would anybody like to motion?
Just so you know.
Marty Banks moves.
Okay, great. Thanks.
No, please go ahead. Are you look, yeah?
No, I was just going to mention that it is the same one that we approve every year, very similar to the Granite School District. We follow their calendar as much as possible. So you do have a motion.
I know the salary table was sent to a few of us. Has it been sent to everybody?
Yes, it was.
It went out with the minutes. I think there's just been so many conversations about the agenda and minutes today. Okay. It was also, it also went out. It went out today. It also went out in January, but we didn't have
a board. Oh, no, who's talking about the...
The calendar?
No. Were you talking about the calendar?
Are we talking about the calendar right now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were talking about something else.
No.
I did receive the email from Ari with the minutes, but not the agenda and the calendar.
Yeah, the agenda came earlier today. I just forwarded you the agenda.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, I agree with the calendar. If it's same as Granite School District, I think it's great. Yeah.
Okay. This is Dawn. What are the differences between the Granite? You said it's closed. What's different?
The only difference is the seventh grade follows the elementary school calendar rather than their secondary calendar.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Okay, then I move to approve the calendar or second it or whatever needs to be done.
Second it. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Don. Anybody opposed to the calendar? Okay, then we will consider that unanimous, and we will move on to our discussion items. On the agenda, we have to talk about the committees and meeting about the first one is the operation side of the seventh grade expansion. Marty, do you have anything to report?
I do. My assignment from last week was to get in touch with the financial advisors that had been recommended to us who may be able to give us both a preliminary opinion about the feasibility, given our financial position, of undertaking the financial commitment underlying the expansion project. Secondly, if proved feasible, then that financial advisor would also advise us, and more importantly on not just advise us, but would undertake the task of coordinating the bonding and the financing that would, and the associated legal work that would be required to accomplish the financing, and had a chance to chat with the folks from one of the recommendations was to round table gentleman named Clint Basinger, and he's you know, I thought very impressive. Seemed to know his business, had good experience, and at the end of the conversation, I felt pretty confident that he could provide valuable service. And just to give us, for what it's worth, the cost for their services would be approximately 0.5% of the bonding amount. We don't know exactly what the bonding amount will be, but for comparison purposes, that sort of gives us a benchmark. Now, he also indicated that their company Roundtable could go beyond just the task of being the financial advisor, but they could also be the, if you will, the overseer, the manager of the subsequent project path. And that would be more like a kind of overseeing and consulting and managing all of the tasks that go along, not beyond the financial piece. And that would be relating to orchestrating the request for proposals for an architect or a contractor, overseeing the contractor, the payments to the contractors, a myriad of reporting requirements that Utah State Board of Education requires, kind of a project manager, if you will.
Yeah.
I
said, that's great.
And so they can do that. Then the other candidate is a guy that we're familiar with. His name is Davidson. He's the guy that financed our first initial construction, 10 years ago. He's with LYRB Financial. And of course, not surprisingly, he can do the same thing on the financing front. He's not the same caliber, and I don't think would be a suitable choice for the subsequent construction or the project path. And so, he's a known commodity. He's capable. And I think it's a pretty close call as for the financial piece of that, who would be the best one. So the second piece of the puzzle is that today, this afternoon, Eulokio and I had a nice conversation with Jeff Basinger, who has offered his services to basically handle the second piece of that. He's not a finance guy, doesn't pretend to be so, but he can handle the project path or the construction piece of it. And, we know him, he knows us. We're both known commodities to each other. I think we've got a high regard for his capability and for his integrity, his ability to look after our best interests. And Eulokio, I'll be particularly interested in your view. I think the big decision for us is whether we kind of bifurcate or separate and have a different advisor for the financial piece from the construction piece. For example, we could have, I believe, a Roundtable do both the initial financial piece and the subsequent construction / project piece. And in that case, we probably would not need Red Apple or Jeff Basinger to provide a separate input.
Yeah.
Alternatively, we could hire either David Robertson at LYRB to do the finance piece, and then either Red Apple, Jeff Basinger, or Roundtable to do the construction piece. I'll give you my initial recommendation, and I'll certainly welcome any other input, especially from Eloquio. I think we would be best served by engaging. I mean, I don't have a strong preference between LYRP and Roundtable for the financing, but I think we should separate the two tabs.
I agree. But I don't think we should be making any decisions. I almost feel like that these companies need to go through an RFP process that the board can vote on whether or not we go this direction. Do you have any of the, like, you know, the cost or the services or any of that financial information, like, that you can provide to the board?
Yeah, they both gave me their estimates. It's not in the form of a written RFP.
That's fine.
We can ask them to do that. They probably have something that they could produce in a matter of, you know, a day or something.
Yeah, that's fine. I think we definitely, Angela, you have your hand up really quick. What did you want to add?
Well, it would be my preference to have them separated. I'm really concerned about conflict of interest. And
I agree.
Buddy, and I have a friend that, which is all well and good, but we want to be above board. And then I wanted to know, what was the initial price difference, or was there much price difference for the service?
So for Red Apple's expense, he suggested that the fee would be somewhere in the $35,000 to $45,000 range. So let's call that $40,000. And the way that they do that is if there's kind of an initial upfront $10,000 fee. And that would be, again, he's not doing the financing. He's doing the kind of the project management. There'd be a $10,000 upfront fee. And if the project dies on the vine and we decide not to go forward, if for some reason the financing gets complicated or we run into other problems, then he would limit himself to that first $10,000 upfront fee. If the project goes through to fruition, then he would tack on the rest of it, which is the remaining $30,000. And we'll know pretty quick whether, you know, we're going to go through the full scope of the project. And so, you know, I didn't really get a specific quote from Roundtable to serve that same function, because I had a strong hunch that we were probably going to want to go with Red Apple just because we have so much experience with them.
Right. Marty, can you go back to those companies that even provided you with estimates and ask them to provide you, not really itemized, but provide you the project, you know, an estimate for the project management construction piece and an estimate for the financial piece? I think that will help us, you know, separate that out as a committee. I agree. I think we should do this separate. I think the finance should be kept separate from the project management and construction side. But I'm wondering if it wouldn't be beneficial for those companies that wanted to provide us an all-encompassing service if they break it down. And if that's something you could get so that we could vote on it on the next committee.
Yeah, that's easy to get. I may try to push us to move faster than waiting till next month. I'll just wait till I have all the information so we can kind of see it in one look. Before we leave this topic, though, I'd be interested in Eloquio's input on those two issues. One, whether we ought to separate the two tasks to different companies. And second, his view on the financial piece of Dave Robertson versus Roundtable.
Marty, I fully support what Angela and others have said so far. I think that we do need to separate the two and go that route. There's no question about that. Regarding the other two, I think they're all known entities, because LYRP did our first loan for this building. And in the round table, they are the split off of Red Apple. Those are the people that own Red Apple. So they're all known people. They all know us and we know them. It's just a matter of looking at the cost for each of them. We know that one of them is a half a percent of 1%. So we need to find out what the other cost, the LYRB, and then compare the two, because like I said, everybody knows us and we know them. So you'll just need to take an action.
Marty,
with that, you have a sense, assuming that we're gonna get the data and that the financial piece from LYRB and Roundtable are essentially identical, if not very, very close. That given that, do you have a tendency toward one over the other?
I actually don't, because I know David Robertson really well, and I know the people at Roundtable really well too. And like I said, they know us too. So I really don't have a strong recommendation either way at this point.
Yeah, if we can, I think we can do an out of committee vote on those estimates. And then we'll make sure to report that back up here at the next board meeting. So if you get those, Marty, and get them to me, I will do an out of committee proxy or voting process.
Okay, sounds good. We'll do.
Okay, hey, thank you so much. Why don't we move on to the curriculum side? Juan, do you have anything to present?
Me? No, we already presented it last time, and I think I couldn't see any questions or concerns, but we're ready for seventh grade.
Very good. Okay, well, that brings us to
What I do have questions is, look, last time in our board meeting, you talked a little bit about the faculty who would be teaching. Could you send us a document whenever it's ready for us to see how it would be distributed for seventh grade?
Can you repeat that again, Juan? I don't know that I got the...
If you talked a little bit about who would be teaching this class or this subject in seventh grade, it can be to the curriculum committee or the whole board, but if you could, based on the plan that we have, if you could send us a document with who would be teaching the different subjects. Does it make sense?
Yes, I do have some people on staff. We will be hiring the what they call the homeroom teacher.
Okay.
We will be hiring two people, one for each group of students of about 20 kids each in each group. And then we'll have the other classes coming, but I'll put something together. I have identified two candidates that have applied. One has a teaching license, secondary teaching license in mathematics. The other one has a secondary teaching license in language arts, and that is exactly what we're looking for. And so I haven't given them contracts yet because the legislature barely closed, and we found out that we do have the 5%, and that's why I put together that document that I sent to you.
Yes.
So by the next time, I will bring you a plan of the two teachers and who's going to teach PE and music and computers and some of the other things that need to be taught. So I'll have that for you next time.
Perfect. Great. Thank you.
Okay. We can go ahead and move on now to the director's report.
Okay. I am going to share my screen. Maybe. Can you see it? Can you see my screen with PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yes, we can see it.
Great.
I can see it.
Excellent. Okay. There's some beautiful people there on the screen. Our numbers don't change. They've been about the same, 535 to 538, 540 at the maximum. We are preparing right now for the end of year testing. We have right around 125 students that are staying after school, tutoring with their teachers. All teachers, I believe, are staying behind now. Yeah, all the teachers are staying behind. This is the first time we've accomplished that. They're also doing their cultural lesson plans that the board wanted to have done. We had our first lesson plan in February. It was due on the 29th, and 18 of the 21 teachers met the deadline. The other ones are working on it. The second lesson plan will be done by the 19th. And so we keep focusing on culture in our building. Kindergarten registration closed. We actually have 90 students registered. Only 81 probably will begin because some of them miss. Can you go? I wonder if it's, who would that be? Now somebody's knocking on our window, so we'll find out who that is.
Eulogio?
Yes.
Hi, this is Rosie. So you're showing the same slide, just so you know.
Oh, no. What happened?
It's just not going forward on the other slides. I figured you wanted to show something else.
Yes. Is it working now?
Yes.
We're on the kindergarten registration. We have 90 students that are registered, but we still have another requirement that they attend an orientation. And sometimes kids drop after the orientation because some of them didn't know that we were a 90-10 school or whatever the case may be. We are in preparation of our 10th year anniversary celebration. And I hope that most of you were contacted by the committee. If you haven't, you will be contacted by the committee.
I was contacted and they didn't ask me to contact anybody, but I was contacted as a board member. And they asked me to introduce the board members. So did everybody get invited?
I don't think that the invitations are out yet.
Okay.
Right now, we're just trying to get a list of all the people that will be invited right now. There's a committee to put together, and they're working on the music, the food, the events that are happening for the 10th year anniversary celebration. It is on the 20th of April.
April 20th.
Yes.
David Robertson is the one who's knocking on the window.
Yeah, he's here. Right, he's here. He's
here. Oh, he's here already. Okay, I just saw his text message. Sorry.
Yeah, he's here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, was the door locked?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody must have.
Yeah, they probably locked it.
Okay.
We are also doing home visits. All the teachers are all participating in the home visits. I don't know. We don't have an update yet on how many have done it. They still have another 2 weeks, I believe.
About
3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we're working on it, and we anticipate that 90 to 95% of the parents will be visited by the end of the home visit time. Before this is the board meetings left in the year, but we do have another announcement about the strategic planning meeting. Juan requested last year to keep it close to the building, so I contacted the Crystal Inn on 3500 South. I mean, that's one of the options. I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so apparently I will be contacting others around us.
Did you check the Hampton down here in the
A little
in
bit.
The home spring two suites over by the mall too? Yeah, they're expensive.
Mm. Actually, I was looking at the stars, and they had less than this one. But anyway, I will check a couple of more around us and send them your way via email. So just look at your emails. This is one of the options, $125 per room plus $100 for the meeting room per day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you the others.
Is there a reason why you wanted to be close to the school? Or do you just
last time was in Ogden, and I thought it would be better to do Park City like we did in the past, or
I can check Park City.
Yeah.
I will check Park City and send it your way as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But I think that's good. Yeah. I was
okay.
Could you go back to the previous slide, Eulogio?
Yes.
Okay. Could we have this on the website? What's on the website? It says Thursdays. And if we can get it on the website. Also, I went to the website because I couldn't remember if yesterday we hadn't received the emails, and I wasn't sure if we had the meeting today. I also noticed that we need to update the bios on the website. We only have
three. I noticed that too. I was actually going to recommend that after Eulogio was done.
Hey, got it on the calendar. We'll get it done.
Okay, if everybody can send their bio to Eulogio,
sure.
He'll put your bio and a picture.
And a picture, a current picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
As soon as you send that to me, we'll update them.
And also the agendas, if they can be there, because I didn't realize, I didn't see the email, and I couldn't see the agendas on the, so I know.
The agenda
I thought was on there. I know we were behind on some of the minutes, but I thought the agenda was on there.
I couldn't see it.
I'll make sure they are, Juan.
Okay, perfect.
I'll talk to Ari to make sure that she's bringing them up.
Cool.
Okay. We actually have our guest here, so we're going to turn the time over.
That's totally fine. Does anybody have anything else they wanted to discuss or talk about?
Not here.
Okay, then let's go ahead and turn this over.
I'm going to stop the share. And then.
Do you want to share the documents? Do you have that right?
I do have the document.
You want to pull that up? We can share that.
I send it to all the members too.
They have it.
They have it. I sent you what did we call it?
The PDF, financing summary.
Yeah, the financing summary, and I also have it here for the people that are here.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
You did see it?
Yeah.
It's called the Esperanza Elementary Financing Discussion. You need it. Did you guys want to look at your own?
I'm not hearing you, Eulogio.
Oh, they're not hearing. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wait, there's a...
I didn't get that document. I was wondering if anyone had it and can put it in the chat.
I'm looking for it as well.
Yeah, we're gonna...
It came this evening.
I got you last minute.
Yeah, not a problem.
At 5 o'clock, Eulogio sent it out at 5 o'clock this evening.
Let's see, how do we put it on the chat? Can we just copy?
I just got an email that somebody needs to be let back into the Zoom meeting.
Thank you so much.
Oh.
Okay. Are they back?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a second. We're trying to get it on.
I just got the document.
You did get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I can just speak to it then.
Yes. Just a second. I'm going to turn the camera over to David.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's been a couple of years, but happy to be back here. David Robertson, my name is David Robertson. I'm with LRB Public Finance Advisors. We actually helped the school with the bond financing here back in 2018. We've been able to keep in touch with Eulogio and Juan periodically here and there. I was super sad when I read the KSL report about the break-in. with the mariachi band, but it was rewarding to hear that you guys had some nice support and you got some great people to come back and give you the instruments back. So that was good to hear about that. In talking to Locio and Don last week, we talked about potentially looking at a refunding as well as the bond reset. So I just wanted to walk you through that. The first page just has a couple of charts on there. The first page is a historical bond index that we track different bond indices. And I wanted to share these two graphs just to let you know, you can see where kind of the numbers are. Some people have said, oh, interest rates have spiked over the past year. They're super expensive. And yes, the interest rates have come up from where they were about 2 years ago at the absolute bottom. But historically speaking, over the past 10 years, they're still about the average interest rate. So this gives some comfort that while interest rates have come up, it's not, we're not higher than where they the historical average is. And then that bottom page on the graph, if you can see in the color version, you can see that over the past year, interest rates have been bouncing around. But again, you're about the median, we're about the average of where interest rates have been over the past year. So at a decent time. There is some discussion about what the Feds are going to be doing this year, that they potentially could be lowering interest rates. The inflation still is pretty strong. The economy is still pretty strong. And so it'll be anyone's guess on if the Feds do lower rates, because that would impact our world. But we did wanted to do some analysis around if the school could refund or refinance its existing bonds. Think of it kind of like your mortgage. From time to time, people will refinance or refund your mortgage just for a lower interest rate. And that's what the school could potentially do right now. When the school issued the bonds, there was about $8.3 million of bonds outstanding. The school has made some principal payments. So the principal amount is coming down to about $7.5 million. And the blended interest rate on your existing bonds is about 5.28%. The reason, and then the last information, is the bonds are callable, meaning that we can refinance those bonds. You'll hear some bonds have what's called call protection, meaning you can't refund the bonds for a period of time, but we're past that date, and so we can refinance these bonds whenever the school wanted to. The couple of things that we need to pay attention to is when the school issued those bonds back in 2018, those bonds were non-rated. So kind of think about it like when you went and bought your first car when you were 16, you kind of did that on your own. It's kind of like charter schools are non-rated. It's kind of it's kind of the worst the bonds out there. Even though you're a great school, that's just kind of how the market is. Well, now one of the things that the school could do is refinance those bonds through the credit enhancement program. And the reason that's important is if you wanted to refinance your bonds today as a non-rated, you'd probably be about 5.7 or higher interest rate. So there wouldn't be any economic savings to the school. But if you could qualify and go through the credit enhancement program, then your interest rate could be as low as 4.25 to 4.5%. So that then starts to be economically valuable to the school. So what do you have to do to qualify for the credit enhancement program? Now, the credit enhancement program is available to the top schools in the area. So only about the top 10 or 15% of schools in Utah qualify for the program. To do that, if you look at the bottom of page 3, we talk about some of the things that you'd need to do to qualify for their program. So enrollments is the kind of the first thing. You guys, it appears online that your enrollment's been very steady around that 530, 35 kind of ballpark. It's been very consistent along that line. So congratulations on the steady enrollment. The other thing they look at on the financial kind of metrics is look at what's called your debt service coverage. That's the amount of money that you have to available each year to make your debt service payment. And that's a calculation that we do. The median for rating to get the rating we need is about 1.5 to 1.7 times coverage. Over the past 3 years, the school has averaged kind of anywhere between 1.5 and 2 times coverage. In 2023, that did dip down a little bit. So we wanted to look at that. But from the other years, the school is in a very good position and would qualify. The other financial metrics that we look at is the rating median is on what's called days of cash on hand, or a measurement of how much cash the school has in the bank. Again, the median is about 150 to 175 days, and the school has kind of been in that 150 to 200 days of cash on hand. So from a cash basis, you're doing very, very well. On the academics, we need to look at the academics. There is some flexibility around academics, but we need to do, I didn't have time to do an analysis there, but so assuming we have some decent academics or a good story around that, then we could possibly qualify there.
We have increased by about 300% from the time we opened.
Fantastic. So those kinds of things, and and there should be a story that we can tell about that. Going back to the enrollment, rating agencies like to see bigger schools. So just to be brutally honest, like they're typically the ratings are qualified like 800, 1,000 students because they're just a little bit more stable in the sense that if you lose one student at 1,000 students, you don't really feel it. But if you lose one student at 500, you feel it a little bit more. So having a larger school gets that. But where the school has a large fund balance, that should offset some of that. And if you can look at the, do you remember how your wait lists are? Are they strong wait
lists? Yeah, we're over 100 kids on the waiting list.
Oh, so you're 20% there. So that should be a nice number as well. So all of those kinds of things kind of goes into the story about what we're telling. And if we can tell a good story, then that's usually what gets us the good rating. To qualify for the credit enhancement program, there's three or four major things that kind of go into it. First of all, is just qualifying and getting the bond rating. So if you get the bond rating, it's pretty much a slam dunk that you're going to get in because it shows that you've met all of the kind of the enrollment, management, financial, all of those metrics. You've kind of squared off on those sides. The couple of other major things that they want to see is they need a certification from the state Charter School Board. This is on the top of page four. On the top of page four, it talks about on the certification from the State Charter School Board, assuming you have a good relationship with them, that you've met your metrics, mm-hmm. they look at retention, they look at scores and just how the school is doing overall. But assuming that is a good report, we need to draft some various documents. There is an upfront, deposit that we, a $20,000 deposit we need to make to the finance authority to consider the application. But assuming we get all of those things put into place, then you can qualify for the program and you can issue the bonds. To skip over that middle part of page four, talk about timing. Well, why would we want to do this? So in the bottom of page four, there's some basic statistics that I pulled together on looking under refunding of the school's bonds. And these are based upon the current marketplace. So if the interest rates go down, it's only going to help us, right? But if we could issue the bonds today, there's a lot that goes into the bond math. You'd have the par amount of bonds would be about 7.2 million. There'd be a re-offering premium. And I can talk about the bond math if you liked, but that's just a premium that bondholders would pay in today's market. We could release the school has an existing debt service reserve fund on their current bonds. We could actually release that to help fund the new reserve fund on the new deal. So the total new transaction would be about 8.3 million. In today's market, the interest rate would probably be close to 4.25, 4.3%. We would keep the existing footprint. So it doesn't mean that while we issued the bonds in 2018, we're not issuing new 30-year bonds. We could still keep the same amortization through 2048. So we're not extending the life of the bonds. We could do that if you wanted to for some particular reason, like if you wanted to do an expansion or if you wanted to buy some things for the school, we could add on a couple of years. But this analysis assumes that we keep the same footprint for the school. We'd have a new call date. So we'd have to probably kick out that call date a bit of amount. Your current debt service payments are right around $547,000, kind of in that ballpark. If we went through this new transaction, and trying to be a little bit conservative, but we show that the new debt service would be about $510,000 to $520,000. So we could save, the school could save anywhere between $25,000 and $30,000 per year on a saving. So that would be fixed. And that's after all the cost of issuance and everything's paid. That would be the kind of the amount that'd be saved to the school for doing that. If you go to the, on page five, you can kind of see how the debt service would be allocated. You'd have the new principal, interest. The reason that principal payment in that first year is high because we reduce some of the interest expense. And so you could kind of pay down some more of the principal to get some of the savings. Again, if the school needed to have some flexibility in that first year or two for any kind of pet projects, we could build that in there if you wanted to. But you can see kind of how the savings on the bonds would be realized. part of the reason why the savings is not level, if you go on the right kind of column of the why that's not just an equal amount each year, is because the finance authority does charge a small annual fee. What, did we lose somebody?
Yeah, the camera just popped off for a second. I don't know if it was like hitting the cord or doing something. Oh. But it's back on.
Okay. Okay. The finance authority does.
Nope.
David, I'm sorry. This is Marty Banks. Quick question.
Yeah.
How much did you say the bond right now, our outstanding balance on the bond is about 7.5, 7.2, something like that?
7.2.
The current amount is 7.5.
And what would it be under the refinance?
With a premium, it'd be about 7.3.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. Keep on going.
No, you're good. I want to ask, so please ask questions. I want to, if you have questions, please ask them. So you can see that it saved the school about $25,000, $35,000 per year. The general timeline or kind of the next steps if the school wanted to pursue it is we would love to work with you on moving this forward. The first thing that we'd want to do is just kind of work through. I've done some general analysis, but I'd like to get engaged, really kind of dive into the numbers, enrollment, kind of how the school is going, kind of put together a credit package. We want to procure the other finance professionals like bond counsel, borrowers counsel, underwriters, those types of players. Probably in March, we would be drafting documents, preparing a ratings presentation, other marketing materials. In late April, the 1st of May, we'd be meeting with the rating agency to secure the rating. We would submit a financing application to the finance authority in May. We would then have the meeting with the finance authority kind of late May, early June. We would be posting the offering document to investors, probably late June, price the bonds most likely kind of in that July timeframe and kind of close kind of late July. So that's kind of a comfortable schedule moving forward. Could we accelerate that a little bit? Probably, but just kind of wanted to give you kind of a game plan of what's going on. Marty, if you remember the time that we issued bonds last time, the major difference between this time and last time is we know that we're going to do what's called a public offering. So we'll just be drafting documents to be issuing these bonds in the public market. And then the major difference is applying for that bond rating, which is a new expense that the school would have to pay. We could wrap that into the bonds, so it's paid from the bonds, so no issues there. And then, yeah.
How much is that fee?
It's around $35,000,
$40,000. And what are your thoughts on, you know, the conventional wisdom is that these rates are going to drop and it may well drop over the next, you know, 3 to 9 months. Give us your thoughts on whether we might be well served by waiting 3-6 months before making a move.
Yeah, and that's a good question, Marty. And it's been quite the conundrum. Everyone expected that we were going to see rates to drop this year. Everyone expected to even start seeing some rate movement early this year, and that there could be 5 or 6 adjustments to the rates this year. But with the economy staying strong, and I read a report this morning that inflation is still holding steady because of the higher gas prices, the Feds have been a little bit slow to change rates. There is a Fed meeting next week that we hope to get some feedback, and at the earliest that they could maybe start changing rates or getting a more feedback would be at the May meeting. So to your point, Marty, is there...
Really, actually, let me rephrase that question. If we decided to move forward with the proposal here, how far out would it be before a rate locked from right now?
The earliest you could do that would probably be in a June, July timeframe. If you wanted to relax it a little bit and price bonds like in the October timeframe, that would be a very, very comfortable schedule. We could kind of monitor to see how the markets are going and do something before the end of the year, kind of before the holidays. So we could get ready so that if we wanted to take advantage of something kind of late summer, be available for it. But if we're hearing something or sensing something, we could do something this fall just as easy.
Okay. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you again. Keep going. Oh,
those are good questions. I like them. Yeah, historically speaking, and this is just based on history, pricing bonds in the June-July timeframe has been advantageous because there's a lot of redemptions, meaning there's lots of money coming into the bond markets just from the normal course of action. So when there's lots of money coming into the market, that means people are trying to put money to work. And so when there's more demand for work, interest rates have historically gone down. So if we wanted to, based on history, target a time frame, I would either do kind of late summer or fall time. Usually, again, historically speaking, August or September have been busy for larger state transactions, which takes up some activity in the marketplace. So like I said, we could get things ready. There's a couple of things that we have to do on getting the bonds, drafting bond documents, securing the rating. That's all going to take a couple of months. So we could take a comfortable approach to that, get all of that done by early summer, approach the finance authority and kind of move that along on that side.
And we're not jeopardizing our probability of getting approved through the credit enhancement program by slowing down a little bit?
No. Like I said, I want to look at the 2023 audit again and just talk to the school about that one, because the debt service coverage did dip a little bit, and that very well could have been explained because sometimes people realize some of, when I say COVID monies, like either the ESSER or some of those grants 1 year, and then realize the expenses the next year. So there could have been some kind of funky math with that one. So to your point, Marty, I know we need to look at things. If we get way into the fall time, people start asking, well, when's the audit going to be done? When's that going to be coming done? But as long as the school has a strong track record, it's easy to answer all the questions. No, there's not a timing issue with the finance authority. It's just more presenting the school in the best light possible to the rating agencies and coordinating efforts on that side. But from what I've seen from the last couple of days reviewing things, there's a great story to hear, and I'd love to be a part of that to help you along.
Okay. Thanks. That's helpful.
Yep. So going to the last page on page six, if you wanted to engage us and move this along, what we would do is the first steps that we'd work with you is just kind of diving into the numbers, making sure everything checks, determining kind of a course of path, working on the putting together a credit package, engaging the finance team, drafting documents, and just kind of nudging this transaction along. So I don't see there's any immediate hurry or rush. I think we can just move this along in a comfortable pathway and get the school prepped and ready to go. I will say the one thing people say is like, well, we want the savings to be bigger, or we want the best markets. And while we want to be cognizant of the market, particularly because there are indications that the Feds could lower rates this year, it's just been a total, it's kind of like a blind mind throwing darts of when that's going to happen nowadays. It's because there's so many variables. We have a presidential election happening this fall. We have the war in Ukraine. We have pressures from China all happening. The economy is holding steady. Like, we're still adding jobs. Gas prices are high, so inflation isn't as low as people would like it to be. So in theory, with a presidential election, the legislative branch won't be doing anything too crazy with any of the laws out there, because they don't want to positioning themselves one way or the other for the elections coming up. The one thing we do know is where interest rates are today, that the bonds are callable, so we can refund the bonds. Could we wait it for a year and figure out, is it better next year? Yes, but then you start to lose some of your opportunity cost of what you would be gaining today. So I think moving forward, it's a good question. If the school wants to move forward, like I said, targeting this summer, worst case this fall, I think positions yourself that you can take advantage of if the market is presenting itself and move it along. So there's lots of, the good thing is that the school has options. It's not in a desperate situation right now. we're simply trying to do what's best for the school, and there's an opportunity here. So I think it's at least behooves the school to at least explore it to see what it looks like.
Dave, can you tell us just about your fee calculation?
For the overall cost of issuance, yeah, the overall cost of issuance on page four, that's from our recent experience. COI stands for cost of issuance. We just issued some credit enhanced bonds for Summit Academy in January. We had a very successful bond pricing for Summit in January. It was fun to see them. They merged. Long story short, they were two separate schools and they merged and got to help them through all of that. And then I'm helping two schools right now through credit enhancement program. Lakeview is exploring a process right now. So the cost of issuance are based upon live bids that I've received from those two transactions of kind of where the market is right now. So
I'm thinking not so much of the cost of issuance, but for your consulting services or however you charge your fees.
Yep. Right now, for this, for the credit enhancement program and the time and energy that goes into it, based on the recent experience we have, we'd probably be in the mid to upper $40,000 range.
Very good.
And we are a success based, so we will only get paid once the transaction closes.
If and only.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah. Yeah. I say that just to let you know, like, I'm an optimistic person. I don't like to get engaged in things unless I don't want to come in here and just singing roses. I want to come in here with a real transaction. I think there's a real transaction here. And so I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. So I want to be respectful of all of that. I think there's a transaction here. Who knows what happens to the markets, right? Markets can do whatever the markets are going to do. But I think there's a transaction here. I guess, yeah. I say that just to let you know that I'm not going to hear nickel and dime you. I'm here fully engaged and I'm here motivated to get a transaction done that's right for the school.
Very good. Thank you again. Very helpful.
You're welcome. On a similar, so if there's not any questions here, we also need to talk about the bond reset on the existing bond. So just want you to know there's one other topic I'd like to chat about once the time is right. But yeah, is there any other questions on this refinancing opportunity? And either, I know there's some new terminology for some of the board members, but this is what we do. Yeah, LRB, we've done about 60 charter school transactions. We've done a lot, the lion's share of the transactions in Utah. We've done a lot of transactions around the neighboring states. We have a good, very good rapport with the finance authority. We've done a lot of work to push on getting the right bond structuring. So we have a lot of experience. We'd love to bring that value to the school.
No, I don't have any other questions. I think we can motion if nobody has any questions or comments.
He needs to talk about the reset.
Oh,
okay. One more item.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So when the school sold their bonds back in 2018, they had a small portion of those bonds that are susceptible to a interest rate reset, and that was just a strategy that the board employed back in 2018. Excuse me, that bond reset is upon us and we need to take an action to do that. When we can reset the bonds, there's three options. You can do a one-year reset, a five-year reset, or try to reset the bonds through maturity. In working with the underwriters, Cruz, they're the ones helping us with the remarketing. They've done this for a couple of other schools and this is the third or fourth reset that they've been working on. And they've had success and they've learned over the past three or four kind of where the sweet spot is. And so Eloquio asked some good questions. Should we do a one-year reset? Because you'd think if we want to do the refinancing, that'd be good. And normally I'd agree with you, but what Cruz is telling us is there's not much reception from the bondholders to do a one-year reset, just between the interest rates, between where bondholders are and where the interest rates are, there's not enough value to the school to pursue a one-year reset. So what they're suggesting is that we pursue the five-year reset. The five-year reset will not inhibit or prohibit the school from pursuing a refinancing. That does not change any of the financials or the metrics there. So we can pursue the refinancing, be just fine. The reason we want to do the five-year reset is, A, it's going to get the best market reception. The interest rate that they're proposing or predicting is going to be 5.625 or 5 5/8 is the interest rate. In the financial projections that we put together at the bond closing, we assume the capped rate at 6%. So if we can get the 5.625, there'd actually be some savings to the school. And I can pull up my computer. I should have had that on my mind that I don't. I can pull up my computer real quick to see that savings is. But there'd be a little bit of savings. What we need from the school is just to get confirmation that we do want to do the five-year reset. We can pursue the five or fixed year, but it's just going to likely not have good results. So if we go out with a likelihood of getting the best result, I think that'd be the smoothest process from the school. By going with that, we do the five-year reset. The underwriter has asked for a little bit of information. If I could follow up with you, they want to get some more information on enrollment. And there's one other table that we want to get updated. We get those filled in. The underwriter...
I uploaded the two tables that you requested.
Did you to me or did you to the website?
On the web, no, to your document that you sent me.
Okay.
You had an area for me to put the information in. Instead, I put the table in.
Okay. The table. Maybe I missed that. I'll go back and double check that. Okay. Please. Thank you. They will go back and reset. And so this will take about 30 or so days to do that reset. There's really no action that needs to happen. It's all built. Everything was already pre-approved and built into the bond documents. We just kind of need your blessing just to choose the 1, 5, 5 year or the kind of the five. So if there's any discussion, I'm happy to answer any questions. But besides that, everything will be happening kind of behind the scenes, move us along.
I would like to motion to approve the 5 year refinance. Do I have a second?
Yeah, this is Marty. We'd like to have this conversation is obviously closely related to a conversation that we had earlier in the meeting, in this board meeting, Dave, with respect to some expansion plans and the finances involved in that context. But, and I would suggest before we make a motion or make a decision on that and provide Dave with feedback that he can run with, I suggest we wait a week and give us a further chance to talk with Dave about the potential, you know, synchronization of both this refinance or reset and that separate issue of an expansion. And in the event that the five-year, in the event that the expansion piece of that may impact the decision on the five-year.
So if I could add some more color, so that's a very good discussion, a good question, Marty. The 1 year or the 5 year will have no financial impact on the school's expansions or refinancing discussion. This is more just a reset to allow the bonds to continue on. And we'd like to move that along. So if you wanted to do the refinance or an expansion or any kind of growth right there, by doing the 5 year, it's not like you're committing to 5 years or you're extending the call date or anything like that. You're not prohibiting or limiting the school by any means. The 5 year simply is what we believe is going to be the most receptive with investors to remarket an existing note from the school. So we'd like to just, there's some questions here at the table about timing. This is going to take a couple of weeks to get in place. We need to give the underwriter some direction. And then if the school wanted to have some more discussion around the refinance or the expansion, this is kind of two separate discussions. They're the same, but different. They're dealing with the bond. So I understand the relation, But that five-year reset really doesn't have a negative or financial impact on the refinancing discussion.
And when we talk about the expansion, the financing of the expansion discussion, you're confident that we're not limiting our options by moving forward now with this tentative decision to approve the five-year reset?
Not at all. Those bonds already have an amortization period. They're already baked into, like everything is already baked into the existing transaction. So there's no exposure, no risk to the school by doing this reset.
Dave, I defer to you on that. I don't have any reason to question that. So Becky, yeah. I sort of withdraw that tentative recommendation and would concur with any motion to move forward with a decision on the 5 year now.
Okay. Does anybody? I motion to approve it.
And Marty Banks seconds Becky's motion.
Thank you. I was listening between the lines, I think. Does anybody oppose? None? Okay. We'll move forward with the 5 year.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. So if I could just add one more comment. If the school is, you mentioned expansion. If the school is looking to do an expansion, that's a great time to do the refinancing expansion because there's economies of scale if you wanted to finance it. If you wanted to do an expansion, that depending on the scope and timing and all of those issues, that will have a direct bearing on the refinancing. So I just want to measure expectations that depending on what you're doing, it could have good or bad to the fine, not bad, but just it may nudge you one way or the other. So if you
we will follow up with you on that, not in the coming weeks, but in the coming days.
That's right.
Yeah, if you want to have a sidebar conversation in private and just say, hey, David, this could be the impacts, or just give me some scope, I'd be happy to have a separate discussion and run some numbers to understand what the implications would be.
And Marty's chair of the committee that we formed that deals with the operational and logistical side of the expansion, yeah. So he'll be in touch with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Marty, if you want to set up a call, or I'm happy to come down and meet with you, whatever's convenient for you, we can do that.
Will do. Thanks again.
I can maybe even walk over too, Marty. We're neighbors downtown now.
That'd be great.
Yeah, because we've done a lot of financings with expansions and it's been successful, but there are some additional considerations you want to be aware of. So
sure.
Wonderful. Well, that is it. Anybody else? Last chance. We still did pretty good, you guys.
Yeah, not too bad.
Go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Our next meeting is April
12th.
All right.
April 9th. Is it?
Yeah. Second. Yeah. Is it Tuesday? It is April 9th. Well, everybody have a happy Easter because that's in between here and now. Spring break. Easter's, if you have them. Yeah.
Thank you all very much for attending.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
Thank you
all. I'm impressed with your meetings. You kind of make these happen.